Connecticut moves closer to a controversial police reform bill that would allow officers to be sued for misconduct.
Police officers need to be supported. And yes, bad police officers who are guilty of wrongdoing need to be held accountable.
Connecticut Treasurer Sean Wooden is the only African-American to hold statewide office in New England. He says he can support both these reforms and police at the same time. This is C19, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut and New York region. Coming up, the lobbying on police reform, beaches for locals only, and much-needed food pantries. I'm Charles Lane. The Connecticut State Senate will consider a police accountability bill that includes the removal of qualified immunity. WSHU's Ebong Udama reports that there is intense lobbying from supporters and opponents ahead of the special session.
Leading the lobbying effort is State Treasurer Sean Wooden. He is Connecticut's only African-American statewide elected official. Wooden says the House did the right thing in passing the bill last week, and the Senate should do the same.
We're going to put as much pressure as possible on that state Senate. I urge people to make phone calls, and I am hopeful that we will get this done.
The opposition is led by state police unions. They oppose some provisions of the bill, including one that would hold officers accountable for misconduct and another that would create a new position of an independent state inspector general to prosecute police killings. Senate Minority Leader Len Fasano supports the police union's position that this might be a violation of the state constitution.
The constitution delegates one authority to do the prosecutions for the state of Connecticut. This now creates a second one.
Fasano has asked Attorney General William Tong for a written opinion before the Senate votes. It's not clear what Tong's opinion would be or if it would sway votes in the Senate. Governor Ned Lamont has indicated that he would sign the bill if it passes. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Some shoreline cities and towns in Connecticut are reviving a controversial practice in response to COVID-19. They're restricting beach access to residents only on the weekends. WSHU's Davis Donovan has more.
Cities and towns in Connecticut aren't normally supposed to restrict beaches to residents only. That rule goes back to a 2001 court case brought by Brendan Lydon, at the time a law school student.
I started a jogging route with a friend in Stamford into Old Greenwich where the beach was, and we were stopped jogging and told you can't even set foot walking in the park if you're not a resident. Decided to challenge that law.
And Lydon won in a state Supreme Court decision. Shoreline communities, including Fairfield and East Haven, say the new rule is an emergency measure to protect against COVID-19. But David McGuire of the ACLU of Connecticut says there's a long history in the state of communities using these kinds of restrictions to discriminate.
Really, these are, in the past, have been restrictions aimed at keeping people out that are not from the town, and in many cases, people out that don't look like people from the town.
McGuire says they will monitor cities and towns that ban non-residents. He says it's important to put in policies on beaches that enforce social distancing and other health measures.
And the way to get at that is by having caps on the number of people that can be on the beach at any given time. Creating restrictions where non-residents can't go on the beach does not achieve that goal.
Connecticut Attorney General William Tong says he supports efforts to protect public health, but they shouldn't be used as an opportunity to deprive people of constitutional rights. A Norwalk city attorney says the restriction is temporary and constitutional. He says the city attempted to limit parking, but prohibited non-residents to reduce crowds. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Coming up, we'll check in on a Long Island food pantry, but first, these headlines and a message from our sponsor.
Local support comes from Hartford HealthCare, now offering more testing for COVID-19. If you think you need a test, call 833-621-0600 or visit hartfordhealthcare.org/testing.
Thank you. The New York Yankees away game in Philadelphia was postponed after more than a dozen Miami Marlin players and staff members tested positive for the coronavirus. The Yankees would have been in the same clubhouse as the Marlins used last weekend. Major League Baseball said additional COVID-19 testing was being conducted. That included Phillies players being tested today. The Marlins' home opener tonight against Baltimore was also called off. A Suffolk County Highway Patrol officer died during a highway crash in Dix Hills. Police say 44-year-old officer Edwin Hernandez was driving westbound on Northern State Highway in his police cruiser when it went off the road and crashed into a tree just after midnight. Hernandez was airlifted to Stony Brook, where he was pronounced dead. The 19-year veteran with the Suffolk County Police Department leaves behind a wife and two children. Utility customers in Connecticut can expect higher electric bills than normal this month from Eversource. Officials say that the electric bills as of July 1st are higher due to the cost of purchasing power from the Millstone Nuclear Power Plant in Waterford. Officials suggest that those with concerns about their bill should contact customer service to see what payment options can be made available. The need for food pantries has only increased since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, even as people return to work and parts of the economy slowly reopen. WSHU's Sabrina Garone checked in on one.
About one in every 10 Long Islanders suffer from food insecurity each year, and that was before the global health pandemic. Long Island Cares is a nonprofit food distributor with 26 locations across the island. They say more than 70,000 additional people have been served since the start of the pandemic, and that need won't go away anytime soon.
What people are reporting to us is that furloughs and taking a leave or being temporarily, terminated from your job so you can collect unemployment, that's still hitting Long Island pretty hard.
That was Paul Pachter, the organization's CEO. They've distributed 6.9 million pounds of food since January, a 46% increase compared to this time last year. Pachter says the record number of job losses, combined with Long Island's high cost of living, have caused so many more people to seek help recently.
There are pockets of affluence on Long Island that most people are aware of. You know, the extreme South Shore, the East End, the Hamptons communities, the Gold Coast on the North Shore. After that, most people on Long Island are struggling to pay their mortgage, to pay their rent, to pay their high property taxes.
Randy Dresner is the president of the food bank Island Harvest. She says it could take years for someone to economically recover after disaster strikes.
After 9/11, after Superstorm Sandy, after the recession and many other disasters, what we know about crises of this magnitude, it's going to take a number of years for people to get their feet back on the ground.
And it's a similar situation in Connecticut. Nancy Coughlin is the CEO of Person to Person, a social service agency helping people recover from economic hardship.
Our challenge is that we're looking at how we operate in sort of this new normal where we know that demand is going to be quite high for many years to come.
Person to Person operates three food pantries in Fairfield County, and they're now providing about 90% more food than they were just a year ago. Coughlin says she's preparing for that need to grow as the $600 a week in federal unemployment insurance benefits will expire at the end of the month.
At that point, there's going to be people who have been getting by okay who are going to start needing to turn to food pantries. So we think the need is going to continue to grow for quite some time.
Coughlin says the state has a very wide income inequality, which is especially true in Fairfield County and exacerbated since the pandemic. The county is also home to half the state's undocumented immigrant population who were unable to apply for assistance programs like SNAP. Food pantries across the region are now asking for help from volunteers as well as the government to meet the demands from the communities they serve.
I think we're going to have unprecedented poverty in America unless we take this opportunity to reimagine the way we structure our social safety net and we reinvest in taking care of people.
Coughlin says they've lost most of their volunteers, as many are retired and in the high-risk population. Sabrina Garone, WSHU News.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. Support for C19 comes from Hartford Healthcare. As always, you can send us your thoughts and story ideas to news at WSHU.org. I'm Charles Lane. I'll be back tomorrow.